And I'm going to begin reading with verse 19. Jesus is speaking and he says this, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through to steal." Now, this phrase is not necessarily saying that you're not to have a savings account. It doesn't say that, or that you're not to have a retirement account. You should have both of those. You should always put some money back for unexpected situations. This scripture does not contradict that. That's being prudent and it's being wise. But what this verse does say is that no matter what you put back, you're going to lose all of it. Every penny, everything that you put back for yourself, ultimately, you take none of it with you. You leave it all, you lose it all when you move across the threshold. He goes on in the next verse to say, "But rather, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And I want to take for a thought this morning, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And my question to all of us this morning as we listen is, where is your heart? Where is your heart? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the offering that we are receiving today here in the worship room across the internet. We ask you, Father, that you would bless these families, these individuals that give in support of the kingdom of God. And Lord, as your people give, we ask you to give us wisdom that we might stretch every dollar for the furtherance of the gospel. And Lord, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Lord, I also ask you that you would use me this morning, that you would cause the anointing to take these words home. And Lord, that we not put boundaries in front of ourselves in terms of knowing the goodness of God. Lord, anoint my lips and anoint the ears of your people. We pray it in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen and amen. When I first got saved, it was quite a challenge for me to begin tithing. I had never heard of what a tithe was prior to getting saved. And I happened to be in church and the preacher said, "Pay your tithe." And I had to ask the guy beside me, "What is that? What is a tithe?" And when he told me it's 10% of your gross income, I was taken aback. I thought, well, wow, that's a lot. I mean, that was like a car payment for me. It was a lot, and it was the gross income of which I only took home the net. And so it was a challenge. Nevertheless, I wrote the check, and I was so proud of myself paying my first tithe, the first one in my life. Operating in obedience to God, it was painful. But I did it. And a few days later, the preacher came walking towards me and he had my check in his hand, which bounced. Insufficient funds. And it was an embarrassment, but I took the check back and I cleared out everything and I paid for that check. I was single back then, and so I gave my grocery money to make sure that that check was good. Learning to pay your tithe can be a challenge. Of course, that was 28, 29 years ago. It's not comfortable. You have to stretch yourself to do it. But then once you've done it, which my wife and I now have tithed for, I don't know, close to 30 years. No, I think even for longer than that. But since we both got saved, and now it's like nothing. We don't even think about it. We don't even notice. It's just automatically taken out of my check. It's just already gone by the time that I even get a check. And so this morning I want to talk about not the tithe and not the offering, but our hearts concerning God. And here's where God wants all of his people. No matter where you're at, he wants you to grow. He doesn't want the tithe to become... the tithe is not the high watermark. Tithe is the low watermark. In other words, the tithe means at least do this. But the high watermark, there is no high watermark. The place that God wants all of us in is that he, God the Holy Spirit, not the preacher, not the church, but God the Holy Spirit, can put his hand in your wallet and take out what he wants. That's good preaching. Where he can prick your heart and challenge you in your financial relationship with him, because we are in a time now, and it's only going to get worse. Your little paycheck is not going to help you. You're going to need God. Where you're going to be at the end of your rope, and you're going to have to look to God to meet all of your need in accordance to his riches and glory. But if you have sowed sparingly, you can only expect to reap sparingly. Now, I found some scriptures, and I see them in a light that I've not seen them before. I've perhaps for the past 10 years allowed God to really challenge me in the area of finances. And I've allowed him to move on my heart and make me uncomfortable. How many know when you're putting zeros on a check, it's uncomfortable? Come on, talk back to me. In the book of Mark chapter 12, we see Jesus doing something that I think not everybody realizes what is happening. But in verse 41 of Mark chapter 12, it says, "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much." Now, I want you to see what is happening here. Jesus walks into the temple. He could have positioned himself anywhere, but he positioned himself in such a place that he could see people as they were putting the money into the treasury, and he was able to count from a visual observation how much was going in. How many know he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow. She was not well off. And she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Not much. And he called his disciples and said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, this poor widow..." Now notice what he said. He realized that the woman was poor. "This poor widow has cast in more than all they which cast into the treasury, because all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in, she and her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living." That was not a tithe. That was not a tithe. She went over and beyond the tithe. And you'll notice here that Jesus calls her out. He puts attention on her. He tells his disciples, she cast in more than all those that threw in the big money, because it was only a portion. It wasn't an act of faith like this poor woman. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so sometimes now, you know, it's easy for me to tithe now because it's in the bills, it's in the rotation, I've got everything managed. But when God says, "Hey, I want this," and he puts his hand in my pocket, suddenly it disrupts everything. And sometimes it makes me very, very uncomfortable. But I have learned that my job as a child of God is to push out on my faith, to push out on my faith. How can you write a $100,000 check if you never wrote a $20,000? How can you do a $20,000 if you never did a $2,000? How can you do a $2,000 if you never did a $200,000? And so we can never get, here's what I came to tell you today. Thank God that you're a tither. If you are a tither, thank God for that. Thank God that you've gotten to that place. But don't think that that is exactly where God wants you at. You can move on. You can move on past that. You can give him as much as you want to give him, because what he said in the first scripture, he said, "Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth does not eat and rust doth not corrupt, and thieves do not break through." There's no currency in heaven. There's no money in heaven. The value is your faith, that you have grown your faith in him, that you realize he can hold me without money. I've shared this any number of times years ago. I think close to 30 years ago, making good money as a programmer, computer programmer, as a contractor, making good money. And the Lord told me, that's it. That was your last job. You'll never work for man again. And oh, praise the Lord. That's what I wanted to hear until I heard it. And then I realized I was scared. And we had a big house in Murphy back then, and we had bills. I got a family I'm taking care of and a little dog. And I'd get up every morning and I'd watch my wife get dressed and get in the car and drive off to her job. And I'd sit in the window and I would cry because I was uncomfortable and I was afraid. But I have found out over 30 years that not one bill has ever been late, that God has met every need according to his word, according to his riches and glory. He's met every single need. Well, I've grown in my faith. And there's those periods of time that God, if you allow him, if you pull back, he won't make you do nothing. He won't make you do nothing. He won't send you to hell. You just won't have the developed faith that you may need for what's coming on this nation. See, we live in a time of what they're calling Bidenomics. And people are now eating less to make ends meet. Their cars are late. Their credit cards are overdue. Their houses are late. Well, this is an hour that God's people have something that the world does not have. We should have faith in our God that he's able to meet our need. But if we've never challenged ourselves, if we've never grown in that faith, then we have only what we have, and pray God that it's sufficient for what we're going to have to go through. I'd rather have treasure in heaven. You know, when you look at Jesus, he would say the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now, I'm not saying go sell your house. Please understand what I'm not saying that. I'm saying press out. Wherever that you're at, press out. Press in. This woman gave all her living. It did not go past the notice of Jesus Christ. He noticed it. And although we don't know what happened to this lady, we know that God saw her sacrifice. God saw her faith. And I just, knowing the character of God, I just don't see that she starved to death the next week. Just can't see it that way. But there's another story that we have, and if you turn to 1 Kings chapter 17, and what I'm preaching this morning, I'm not preaching tithing and offering. I'm preaching, what is your heart towards God? How far can you push into God? How far have you pushed into God? How confident are you that God can hold you in troubled times? Now, of course, in the Old Testament, we know that the prophet was God to the people. In fact, there's scripture that says that they were the representatives of God, and people treated them as such. And we find in 1 Kings chapter 17, I'll just begin reading with verse 11. It says, and she, speaking of the widow of Zarephath, was going to fetch a cup of water for the prophet. He had asked her to for something to drink. And he, the prophet was Elijah, called her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we might eat it and die. Now notice the situation this woman is in. She's saying, we've got our last meal, and I got a baby. You know, sometimes the devil can put pressure on us because we have families. You know, many of us, we have families, and especially if you're the head of that house, you feel all the weight of that. That if I don't do what I normally do to get money from where I normally get it, then things could go badly in my house. How many's ever felt that pressure? It's real. But that's the very place. I'm not saying to press out 1,000 miles. I'm just saying just step in on God just a little bit. See, this is something, you don't go from giving offerings but not tithing to doing a double tithe in one step. That's not a natural occurrence. It's little baby steps. It's little baby steps because we're scary. We're scary, and our faith grows slow, and you take little baby steps, and you just move in on God, and sooner or later, you're going to look back and realize how far that you came from. So this lady is telling Elijah, there's no way I can give you a morsel or a cake to eat. We're about to die. This is our last meal, and we have nothing. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Oh, man, that is so good. Fear not. You know, fear manipulates us. I don't care what you say. Fear has an impact on us. Anytime that an angel comes before a man, I don't care how great a prophet it was, the first thing the angel would have to say is, fear not. When Jesus came to John on the Isle of Patmos, and John knew him very well, he knew the Lord. He had walked with him 3.5 years, but Jesus had to tell him, don't be afraid. We are very susceptible because of the fall, very susceptible to fear. So the first thing we have to do, if we're going to inch in and step in on God, you're going to have to contend with your own fear. You're going to have to contend with your own reason and logic. And again, you can't go from nothing to a double tithe. That's erratic. That's not growth. But it's little baby steps. You take little baby steps at a time. And as you do that, you see, man, God is holding me. God is holding me. You know, when we built this church, we were in financial straits when we built this church. My wife and I thought we were going to have to take another mortgage on the house to get us through some hard spots, which we were ready to do. But as things kind of settled out, we began looking towards missionary works, which we have two in Pakistan, one in Nigeria, one in the Philippines, and one in Houston, Texas, that we support these efforts every single month. And when we first started that, it was a little scary because you don't want to pay for the missionary effort, and then the lights get turned off. But what I noticed early on is that every time we took in a missionary effort and we committed ourselves to it, I noticed that the income would go up. And so we would start another missionary, and it's, you know, when you have a missionary effort, you realize that if we fail, people don't eat. If we fail, children are hurt. And so when we make that commitment, we make it with the mindset, for example, little Dave in the Philippines, we're going to carry him all the way till he's 18, until he graduates from school and he gets out. That's what we think. Now, if the Lord says different and we help him and his mother after that, I don't know what the Lord has. But my point is that we make a commitment to that thing. And when we did that, it was scary. But now we give over 10% of the church's income to missionary works. But you have to take baby steps all the way. Am I making sense? Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Now, this is so important. Notice the word first. He's saying, go ahead and make the last little dinner for you and your baby. But before you do that, make a cake for me first. See, it sometimes is difficult for us to put the things of God before ourselves. We're naturally selfish and self-centered. And it's an effort, it's a growth of faith, it's a maturation of your Christian experience to begin to put God first and to begin to look at the things of God as having priority. And it's not comfortable. And many times when this is happening, you don't get any kudos because nobody knows. You don't get a public applause for this. It's just you and God are the only one that knows. When that little woman put her two mites, which make a farthing, when she put that into the offering, she thought nobody knew. She thought it was an embarrassment for her to throw her two little pennies in there, and the others are putting bags of gold in, and she's got two little mites. It's like nothing. It's probably an embarrassment to her. But nevertheless, she was making that next step in faith. This woman, the prophet said, go make your last meal. You and your baby can die. Go ahead and do that. He said, but make me a cake first. And after, make for thee and thy son. But thus saith the Lord of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now they were in the midst of a famine. When the prophet told her, make me a cake first, then you and your son, put the things of God first, in the midst of a famine. Well, we are in the midst of the judgment of God on our nation. And we may think, oh, brother, you know, I think you're overstating it. Maybe you haven't noticed. I don't even pay attention when I go to the store and I buy something at the store. I don't even look at the receipt. It's a bad habit. I shouldn't do that. But even me, I'm feeling that, wow, that was a lot of money. You know, that is the receipt right? Was that right what they charged me? And you're finding everything. You go to fill up your car and it's like, what, $65? When it used to be like almost maybe 40. So we're in a time that things are drawing up. It is the judgment of God, because how can you live the way this nation lives and think God's not going to judge it? But we, God's people, we should be pressing out on our faith, because the time is coming that you're not going to be able to look to the government. You really can't look to them now. They're not trustworthy. You're not going to be able to look to corporate America, and really, they're not trustworthy either. But God is faithful. He meets every need. He brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, kept them in the wilderness 40 years. They never worked a job. Their clothes never wore out. Their shoes never got run over. There wasn't a feeble one amongst them, unless judgment was in the camp. And here we are, we can hardly pay for our prescriptions. Every time we get sick, the doctor writes us another prescription we can't pay for. Come on, somebody. And we kind of blindly just walk through that, hoping everything is going to be all right. And God is saying, I got you. If you're so bountifully, he said, you're going to reap bountifully. I don't just want to be a Christian that meets the low water threshold. Hey, I pay my tithe, and sometimes I give an offering. I'm good. I'm doing all that God wants. I want to be that one that's like Solomon, that God can give you more than any man before, and you offer the biggest offering that the world has ever seen. I think it was 225 little lambs he offered up at one time. I mean, he turned that brazen altar. It was like a meat cutting plant, where you butcher you butcher lambs. It was blood everywhere. That was his offering to God. And you and I press out in your most holy faith. Yes, yes, you're good. You're tithing. You're giving. You're good. You're doing wonderful. But that's not the end of your growth. That's not the end of your growth. It's a good place to be, but you can go further if it's your heart. But you know, my question I asked at the beginning, where's your heart? Do you just want to get the check mark by your name in heaven? Tither, check mark. I want to be the one that God can depend on. When he has resources that need to be moved from here to somewhere, I want to be the one that he can say, I will go to my faithful servant Lincoln. He will do what I ask him to do. Man, that's good. I want to be that one. Not when somebody just comes to me or somebody just asks for something, but when God, the Holy Spirit, comes to my heart and says, I want you to do this. I want to have grown to the place that I can just launch out and do the will of God and not be afraid of the consequences, knowing that my God lives. He lives. In the book of Haggai, chapter 1, we see a passage of scripture beginning with verse 5. The Lord is speaking to Israel, who had, you know, many times we ask God to bless us. We're going to start a business, we're going to start something, or we just ask God, Lord, just bless me. And then God blesses us, and soon as we get blessed, we forget about God. We're having so much fun just playing around in the blessing that we forget the one who blessed us. Chapter 5 says, this is the Lord speaking. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. He's saying, you've sown much and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put them in a bag with holes. How many know times are hard right now? And they're going to get harder. It's not like this is going to be, you know, we have an election and everything changes. That's not going to happen. Things are going to get harder. If you notice, if you're a homeowner, the appraisal on your house goes up every single year. That means your taxes go up every single year. And then you're going to retire, and your income's going to go down while your taxes are still going up. That's the pinch that's coming. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You look for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. My, my, my. The Lord is saying he blew upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is waste, and you run every man into his own house. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from fruit. Now, I don't want to be in this group. I want to consider my ways, and I want to consider what the will of God is for my life. And I want to be making every attempt to step in on what God has. To step in, let my faith be challenged, let me have moments of being uncomfortable, but yet keep stepping in on God closer and closer and closer. He's saying you sowed much and you bring in little, you eat, you don't have enough, you drink, you're not filled, you wear clothes, you're not warm, you earn wages. It's just not enough. You know, I've ministered this for years. People wait until income tax time. They're going to get their refund. And before the IRS even sends the refund back, it's already spent. It doesn't even make it to the savings account. It goes straight into checking, and the checks are already written. That's when you know God's blowing upon it. But that's not God's perfect will for our lives. God wants all of us to be a resource, a conduit that has resources that he can just pull out of at any time to bless whoever that he needs to bless. And some of us are there. Some of us are all of us are in different places this morning, but none of us have hit the high water mark yet. One last scripture I want to share with you by way of encouragement. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul is ministering and he says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, I want to focus for a moment on the bountiful. We'll let the sparing, we'll let you deal with that. But he's telling me that if I sow bountifully, I can expect the harvest to be bountiful. And it lines up with my experience. As we pressed out to more missionary efforts, this church, we found that the church's income went up. We didn't ask for offerings. It just went up all by itself. When COVID happened, get this. When COVID happened, we had like 5 people in the seats. They shut down all churches. Our offerings went up during COVID. Can you believe that? We had nobody in the building, but the offerings went up. That's because God can sustain you even in troubled times. But many times we're so fearful, we make sure that, here comes the pinch. Something's happening. Money's a little short. Well, I'm going to just rob God to make sure that this is taken up and God understands. Consider your ways. He which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. For every man according as he purposed in his heart. Where is your heart this morning? You can know where your heart is by where your treasure's at. And let me just say this. If right now you're feeling uncomfortable and you're feeling like, preacher, I wish you'd go ahead and read that last scripture and so we can close this down. I'm uncomfortable. That's because your heart is not where it should be. If your heart is where it should be, this doesn't bother you at all. You'd be saying, I need to hear this. I need to consider that. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. You know, we've seen that for years with the money ministers. You give $1,000 today and God's going to pay off your house by the end of the year. That's giving of necessity. That's not how God operates at all. God doesn't have anything for sale. He don't even need your little money. It's just paper. Have you ever noticed? It's just paper. Someone said, but I got gold and silver. Those are rocks. God just threw them down in the dirt. They're just rocks. And we place great value on these things rather than use them as instruments to build our faith, to move forward in the things of God. For God loves a cheerful giver. Get this. God is able to make all grace, all of it, super abundance, overflowing. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That's within his ability. So that you might always have all sufficiency in all things, so that you might abound into every good work. Here's what he said. God wants you to be in such a place with him that he can put resources in your possession, knowing that when a good work comes up, he can depend upon you. He can call upon you, and you've matured to a place that you're not afraid of him. You're not, if he asks you for something, you're not afraid of what he asks you for. That's where he wants all of us at. It's uncomfortable, I will admit. It's uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable. When Sister Lincoln and I started the church, her and I, we could pay all the bills. If nobody gave a penny, we could pay all the bills. But when we built this church, it's a $2 million facility, we looked at each other and realized we can no longer pay all the bills. It's very uncomfortable. And when they bring in the legalese contract for $2 million and lay it in front of you, we just need a signature, brother. It's very uncomfortable. But God is able. Amen? Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, that you are patient with us, long-suffering. And Lord, as little children, you nurture us up. Lord, with little baby steps of faith along the way, you bring us the heights that we could have never achieved without your guidance. We ask you now, Lord, that you would take this message and that you would impress it on each of our hearts. Lord, that we might allow you, the Holy Spirit, to challenge us in our giving. To challenge us, Lord, not just because it's giving, but because it's the building of faith and trust and reliance in you. Father, we want our hearts to be revealed by where our treasure is. Come on, all over the room, would you stand to your feet if you're able this morning? If you're able. I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life. But why don't you just reach out to God right now and just ask him, Lord, bring me closer. Take me deeper. Take me deeper into these things, oh God. Lord, deal with my heart. I've heard your word, but now you, the Holy Spirit, deal with my heart this week. Deal with my heart from now on, Lord, to help me to press out on my most holy faith. Come on, just reach out to the Lord, won't you? Just reach out to the Lord.
Glory to your name, Father. Continue to prick our hearts, Lord God. As we've taken your word today, Lord, and you've given us understanding of what giving back to you means, we ask, Lord God, that you will continue to guide us. Stretch us in our faith, Lord God. Give us the courage to test you so that you will open up the windows of heaven for us and pour out your blessing upon us. We ask that you will continue to take care of each and every family that is represented here and across the airwaves. And we ask, Lord God, that you continue to help us understand what it is to be good stewards of what you give us to give back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful word. The Lord does test us, and he is very faithful when it comes to his word and us giving back to him. I've been a part of this ministry for 17 years, and before I even joined the ministry, I asked Pastor Lincoln, I said, "Hey, man, what do you do with the money that you receive?" And he told me from the word, this is good ground. You put your seed in this ground, the Lord will bless it. And some of y'all know I own a business, and many of businesses closed during COVID, and our business thrived and continued to thrive. And over the years of having a business, the Lord has increased my business year after year because we stay true in our giving. Was it hard sometimes? Yes, it was. But the Lord always provided his provision. We want to thank those that joined us by webcast. Please remember to give. And also, don't forget, we have our prayer set coming up July 13th. Please be prepared for it. You'll have a wonderful time in the Lord and in the prayer and the worship. And it's from 10 to 12, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. So keep that in mind, July 13th. All right. Y'all are dismissed. Have a good day.